Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Yeah, we're skipping church too. This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. If you've been listening to this show, we've been doing this show for like 4 months now, something like that, 4 or 5 months. If you've been listening to it for any stretch of that time, you've learned some things about me. Charlie has also learned some things about me because he told me something in the talk back into my headphones. He told me something literally as like the rejoin was playing. And the last thing he said was, "You're going to talk about that right now, aren't you?" And I am. It's because a handful of shows ago, I started off the show by talking about the post-apocalyptic experience I had trying to escape the Cricket Wireless Providence Medical Amphitheater Center at Sandstone after a Chance the Rapper concert. And it was horrifically mismanaged the entire time. And I spent like 20 minutes on that the day after that show. And getting there was a small pain. Getting into the actual pit at the time was an enormous pain. Getting out of there was tragic. And Charlie was there last night to see Glass Animals and Mike Snow. And Charlie was, I was asking him how the parking situation went. And there are 810 signs all over Providence Cricket Wireless Medical Center at Sandstone. And Charlie informed me that whenever he got there, he saw an 810 sign. So he parked in the VIP employee parking section. And I want to rip your head off your shoulders.
Got to take advantage of just logos all over the place.
I want to rip your head off your shoulders and toss it off of the balcony.
I didn't even think it was going to work, but it did.
What do you mean you didn't think it was going to work? Did you think you thought you were going to get called out?
I thought there was going to be like a list or something, and they were going to be like, "Oh, no, you're not on the list. Go back around," or something like that. I was just like, "Well, I see these logos here. I'm going to try it." And it worked perfectly. And it was still horrible getting out of there, but not as horrible as it could have been.
Were there people climbing the fences like World War Z?
Pretty much. And okay. Then walking on.
I don't want any exaggeration. That was literally happening when I was there.
Yeah, and like walking on the street, like right outside of it, and it's like a 50 mile an hour road, like right outside of the Kansas.
Yeah, I can't believe there's not a dead
walking all over the place.
Not a dead body
like, this
everywhere.
Is not safe.
No, it's nothing about that place is safe. That entire amphitheater is a fire hazard and has to be going up against some sort of regulations. Because if that place burns, everybody's burning in it. It's like one of those traps you sit out for raccoons or whatever. But instead of putting like a little snack in the cage, they put like Chance the Rapper or Glass Animals, and then just, you know, thousands of late teens swarm in, not realizing the fate they have chosen. That makes me mad. That's just upsetting.
I haven't been there in, like, I don't even know, almost 10 years maybe. And kind of forgot how big it is. And, yeah.
Cool
amphitheater, though. Other than the parking.
No, I mean, it's terrible. Like, I would have to really want to see somebody go there again.
Probably haven't been there since, like, a Warp Tour back in the day or something like that.
You're just muttering to yourself, like, yeah. Literally scratching your chin.
Just
going,
like,
I haven't been there in 10 years.
The last time I went to Providence Medical Center Cricket Amphitheater at Sandstone. It was a good show, though.
I'm glad that it was a good show. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm extremely upset at you for getting good parking. The thing I want to talk about today and all the time is the Chiefs. Specifically today, in these last couple of weeks, the Chiefs cutting Jeremy Maclin, which is still a little bit psychotic to me. I usually try, I always try really hard to find my own position on something and then at least figure out what the opposing position is and like the logic behind it. It feels like a rational thing to do to make sure that I'm not holding an indefensible position or just a position because I haven't thought about it. So I always try to make sure that I've tried to look at these things from at least two different perspectives. And I've tried so hard to accept the counterpoint options of my position with the Chiefs cutting Jeremy Maclin. I think the most generous way you can look at this for the Chiefs is to say that they probably are punting this season. And I don't really believe that's what they're thinking. I mean, it's an option, but it's not really where I want to take this line of thinking. That's just kind of a depressing conversation to have about a team that had a first round bye in the playoffs last year, and now it's June 11th, and you're saying that they're not really going to give it a real go next season. That's depressing. But no matter how you slice it, the Chiefs are worse this year without Jeremy Maclin. There is not an argument, as the Chiefs are currently constituted, that they are better with DeMarcus Robinson or Jehu Chesson being on the field in lieu of Jeremy Maclin. It's just not an option. That logic doesn't exist. But Andy Benoit on themmqb.com wrote an article called How Jeremy Maclin Became Expendable. And I read the whole thing, not looking to tear it apart, just looking to find another perspective, looking to understand this better. And it just doesn't cut it. Here are the building blocks that he uses in the story. The first one is to say that the Chiefs are dealing with Maclin's $7.2 million in dead money over the next two seasons, which is what they were allowed to do by waiting to cut him after June 1st. They're going to carry a bunch of it this year and the rest of it next year. According to Over the Cap, they're carrying $2.4 million of it this year, and they'll carry $5 million of it next year. And we're going to talk about this cap situation also, because the Chiefs' cap situation is completely bonkers. The other point that Benoit made was that the Chiefs needed about $4.5 million to sign their top draft picks, and they had $3.5 million in space already. I'm going to contend until the day I die that the Chiefs could have freed up that space by cutting Ja Reed or Zach Fulton or highest-paid punter in the NFL Dustin Colquitt or Tyler Bray, third quarterback extraordinaire. Now, the only contracts on the books that would have freed up more than $5 million with a single swipe were Maclin and Alex Smith. But I would have been... If you have to free up more space to give you some emergency spending money going in the next season, then you can go ahead and get yourself a cheaper punter, an inferior punter. Everybody loves Dustin Colquitt. He's also a punter still. You can go find yourself a cheaper punter. You can go ahead and go find yourself another sixth offensive lineman for those sets that you use five times a game, rather than cutting a receiver who's on the field constantly. But here's the proposed bottom line from this MMQB story, and it just doesn't hold water. Quote, Maclin is a quality number two caliber receiver who is making number one type money on a team that doesn't really need a number one type receiver to begin with. It's just not true. And if you are one of the people, and this isn't just this MMQB writer. I've seen a shocking number of Chiefs fans saying, you know, why do you need Jeremy Maclin? You got Alex Smith as your quarterback. Quarterback doesn't even use him, which is ridiculous because Maclin and Alex Smith, I think maybe Maclin or maybe Smith and Travis Kelce have better chemistry and have more experience and more mutual comfort together. But if there's anybody, it's Kelce or Maclin. Those guys have spent time together. And Maclin is an extremely reliable target. If there's anything that Alex Smith seems to love, it's reliability. So that point is already insane to me. But if you believe that Alex Smith just could not have benefited by having Jeremy Maclin around, when did that become evident? To you, to Jeremy Maclin, to John Dorsey, to Andy Reid, to Alex Smith, when did any of you figure this out? Now, what I'm guessing is that you all figured it out right after the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin, and you're looking to rationalize a decision that makes no sense for 2017. But Andy Reid and John Dorsey have shown nothing to indicate that they don't need a number one receiver for Andy Reid's offense, for this current roster, for Alex Smith. Every step along the way. And let's focus on Andy Reid because it's his offense, right? This article talks about how the importance is in the scheme. Chiefs fans talk about how the importance is in the scheme. Andy Reid talked about a scheme. Everybody knows Andy Reid, the buzzword. Andy Reid, scheme! West Coast! Short passes! I have spit on my computer screen now. But let's talk about Andy Reid's lack of usefulness with a number one wide receiver. This is apparently so evident to everyone but me. Andy Reid hoards playmakers, as he should, because you need them. You need playmakers in the NFL. And Andy Reid has consistently tried to have a true number one receiver every step along the way. With Andy Reid's one Super Bowl appearance, he had Terrell Owens. Later in Philadelphia, he had DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. Came to Kansas City. Reid and Dorsey signed Dwayne Bowe to a huge deal because they've got to have somebody. Then Jeremy Maclin again. Then the Chiefs give up tampering picks, a third-round pick and a sixth-round draft pick for tampering charges. They were so desperate for Jeremy Maclin, they didn't wait until it was legal to talk to him. And then they give him this big contract. If Andy Reid doesn't need a number one wide receiver, someone needs to tell Andy Reid. And I'm going to go ahead and believe that Andy Reid is the guy that knows what Andy Reid would prefer in his system. And the point this article makes is that Reid relies on his scheme more than individual players, which has some merit. The Chiefs play a little bit of a different game whenever it comes to talent evaluation, because they're not just saying who's the best athlete here, period. They're saying, you know, who will give us the best production in Andy Reid's system? And that's good. That gives you an advantage. If you can get production at a value because of the system you run, you're ahead of the game. I'm in no way raging against that machine. But this theory that the only thing that matters is the scheme is preposterous. Because you have to have guys who can be a part of the scheme, who can execute the scheme, but you also have to have guys who are more than just a cog. And if you have the opportunity to get more than just a cog, you take it. And Andy Reid has historically taken it. Jeremy Maclin has a fantastic catch rate. He has great hands. He's had chemistry with Alex Smith. He has years and years of experience in Andy Reid's system. Even if you think that Jeremy Maclin is just a shiny cog, he's the shiniest that the Chiefs had as far as fitting into the system. Now, Tyreek Hill is the crown jewel of this offense, and Travis Kelce can make an argument for it also. Those guys are the stars here. But you have all of these assets that Jeremy Maclin brought to the table. You're talking about running routes and leading the wide receivers in the locker room. Andy Reid talked about it last week and said, you know, whenever he was saying, well, who leads the locker room? I said, well, you know, he started to talk about Chris Conley. And the best qualifications that Chris Conley had for leading the Chiefs locker room is the fact that he spent a lot of time with Jeremy Maclin, who the Chiefs just fired. And it is not a surprise to see Andy Reid pay guys who can make plays. Because here's the thing. This, and I don't know if this is new for Andy Reid or if it's just the first time we've seen it in Kansas City, which is actually, I think, the answer. But Andy Reid here, now, in Kansas City, has admitted that his scheme isn't good enough to be an actual contender. His scheme alone is not winning Super Bowls. The strategy of just getting pieces to make the machine move is not good enough. Because the NFL, you need playmakers. Andy Reid saw that with Terrell Owens. And all of those receivers that I rattled off now that directly conflict with this idea that the pieces don't matter as long as the system moves. And you can see, you know, you just need the guys to not detract from the system. And if you get some more playmaking here and there, that's fine. But you know, they've got to be the right pieces and the right values. The idea that that has any merit as an actual Super Bowl winning formula has been disproven year after year after year after year of Andy Reid. In Philadelphia and Kansas City, everywhere he's been, it has not worked. It got close once. And that was not just a system. And the Chiefs have admitted now that it's not enough. We saw them do it very loudly and very boldly. They declared, we have to do something different when they traded up and drafted Patrick Mahomes. Now you could say, well, they are getting its value. It's just value. You've talked about value 1,000 times in this show. It's not about value first in the Chiefs' eyes. Because the Chiefs had a perfect opportunity to get an exceptional value to just run Andy Reid's system. Deshaun Watson would have been perfect to do that. He would have come in, he would have learned under Alex Smith for a year, and then he, with his rookie contract, would have stepped in and managed the offense. He would have run every piece of this Andy Reid machine. He would have run it smoothly. He wouldn't have thrown out of turn. Every bit of analysis that I heard about Deshaun Watson said, listen, his pro comparison is Alex Smith. Not even Alex Smith, the 2016 Chiefs quarterback, but like Alex Smith coming out of college. Alex Smith before he was broken by being on the 49ers. Like the freshest, most optimistically projected version of Alex Smith. That's what Deshaun Watson was. And the Chiefs said no to that. They were there. They traded up to 10. He was available. They didn't say, no, we're not going to trade up for a quarterback. They were, they had the exact opportunity to take Deshaun Watson. As the Chiefs did it, a bunch of people thought that's what was happening. They could have had cheaper, younger Alex Smith, and they didn't. They went and got Patrick Mahomes. So I'm simply now disconnected from this idea that it really is scheme first. Or scheme most. As in, that's the most important thing. It's the base. It's the foundation for everything that the Chiefs are doing. But they had a chance to get a perfect puzzle piece at quarterback to fit right there. And just not detract from the system. Not by way of salary cap. Not by way of decision making. Not by way of talent. Deshaun Watson would have detracted in no ways. Alex Smith detracts from Andy Reid's perfect equilibrium. Because he's too expensive. And we'll talk about the salary cap whenever we come back from the break. But how can you look at what Andy Reid has done with wide receivers and what the Chiefs have done in the last few months and tell yourself that the Chiefs are better without Jeremy Maclin, that releasing him made sense, and that the offense is somehow not significantly worse without him?
This is Sports Sunday.
913-3810-810 is the phone number. If you think I'm on to something.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Or if you think I'm on something. Either way, love to have you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I got a couple of tweets over at JB Briscoe. Very different tweets, but I like both of them. Mike was tweeting me about, I said LeBron is clearly a second best player, and he was throwing out some other names. That's fine. I don't get super passionate about like the GOAT arguments. That's not my thing. That was from Mike, and Big Mike, as his Twitter says, just tweeted me in quotes, "Charlie, Charlie, Charlie, it's going to be okay, baby," with a bunch of crying, laughing emojis, because apparently I said that. Sometime in the first hour, I said that. Charlie, your job today, beyond producing this show, yeah, you can just turn this mic on, I'll run over there, and I'll just hit the commercials whenever, it's fine. Your only job today is to find when I said that, and to make a liner as quickly as possible. That's the only thing that matters. Also, could you get me a cup of coffee real quick? Would you mind? I'm a little bit sick.
No, that's just too much.
I'm a little bit sick, actually. Could you get me an entire box of tissues? Could you run to Walmart or something? Maybe some cough drops. A blanket. Studio's a little chilly. Some slippers. My feet do hurt a little bit. You could come rub my feet, I guess. Might help. What a mess. Not this show, of course, but the Chiefs salary cap. Oh! What a segue. I don't think most people understand how sad the Chiefs salary cap situation is. Like, even before this whole Jeremy Maclin fiasco, the Chiefs were in a bad place. Like, not like a suboptimal place. Like, it's really bad. Now that they have cut Jeremy Maclin, and they're dealing with $2.4 million of his dead cap space, they're dealing with 4.8 of it in 2018, according to OverTheCap.com, which is a great resource for football nerds. the salary cap is an enigma, and it's confusing. It's all over the place, and there are restructuring contracts, and apparently you can carry cap space over from one year to the next if you don't spend it the year before. There are so many nooks and crannies of the NFL salary cap rules that none of us mere mortals are ever going to fully understand. But some of it is shockingly straightforward. The Chiefs' cap situation is dreadful. This year, they're carrying $9.38 million in dead cap space. To be precise, it's actually $9,380,004. And here's how. These, keep in mind, these are all salaries being paid to players who don't play for the Chiefs. Did at one point, the Chiefs promised them guaranteed money, prorated out over a period of time. But all of these guys here were Chiefs, who the Chiefs decided they didn't want anymore. And they wanted them so little that they paid them to go away. In a lot of cases, for the sake of creating more cap space. You see where, like, this deadly cycle goes, right? You cut guys to create more cap space because you've cut guys to create more cap space because you've... The Chiefs are paying Jay Howard $5 million this year. He plays for the Chicago Bears. They're paying Jeremy Maclin $2.4 million this year. He's going to be somewhere making more money, playing in the NFL, not for the Chiefs. They're paying Josh Malga $750,000. They're paying Kavare Russell, the second pick, third round pick, but the second pick in the 2016 draft, who never saw the field. They're paying him $600,000. To not play for them. They paid him more last year to not play for them. They're paying Ramique Wilson $250,000 to not play for them. So what does that come out to again? About $9.4 million. Just for comparison's sake, the total salary cap number for all of that dead money, money that the Chiefs are using to pay guys to not play for them, would pay for every salary on the Chiefs cap except for the top three. Justin Houston's a $22 million cap number. Alex Smith is a $17 million cap number. Eric Fisher is a $9.5 million cap number. Next on the list, $8.5 million, Tamba Hawley. And everybody from Tamba on down is making less than the money that the Chiefs have suspended in the void. Now, my first thought upon dragging myself through these coals is to say, okay, that's bad. But that's probably pretty normal, right? Guys get cut all the time. There's dead money all over the place. This is going to... Some of you are going to drive into a ditch when you hear this. Please don't. Stay on the road, but get ready. I'm warning you. Two hands. 10-2. Eyes on the road. You know how the Denver Broncos always seem to have cap space? Just always. They always are restructuring somebody's deal. They're always re-signing their own guys. They're always bringing in free agents that don't make any sense. They had a super expensive defense and Peyton Manning when they won the Super Bowl. Do you know why? Because the Denver Broncos, according to overthecap.com, have $110,000 in dead cap space. $110,000. That wouldn't cover the Chiefs' smallest dead cap cut. The Broncos aren't wizards. The Broncos are not defying the system. They're just not giving away money to guys who don't play there anymore. And that's not even the thing that is going to blow your mind the most. The Broncos have just a little bit over $110,000 in their dead cap space. My next thought was, okay, well, the Oakland Raiders they've been certainly much better these last couple of years. Things are looking up for Oakland, but they're still the Raiders. They still spend big money. They still have bad contracts. They still make mistakes, and there's probably still paying Randy Moss. So what's the situation? The Raiders have $109,000 in dead cap space, which again doesn't even pay for half of Ramiq Wilson's dead cap space. That's embarrassing. And the Chiefs did fire their capologist, basically, after the draft. There was a change there. And maybe that had some impact on the Jeremy Maclin releasing. But it, again, gives some cap relief for this year and mortgages the future. And the Chiefs aren't in a place to mortgage the future. The Chiefs are not going to beat Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger this year. It's not going to happen. Maybe they're the next team in the AFC. I right now I doubt it, but maybe. But it stops there. Even as the NFL is this crazy whirlwind where, you know, you can say, well, how could you say that, you know, the Chiefs might have a chance to get to the AFC Championship game, and, you know, you're saying right now in June they're not going to have a chance to beat the Steelers. Because I've seen that story. I've seen it against the Steelers, the Patriots, the Colts. Chiefs just aren't there right now. And then they're never going to be until Roethlisberger and Brady retire. And then you go, and you hope that the conversation is about, instead of Brady and Roethlisberger and Manning, who's obviously passed on, rest in peace, then you hope they're talking about Luck and Carr and Mahomes. Just to finish out the AFC West, by the way, as far as dead cap money. The team at the bottom of the division, pretty clearly, is the San Diego Chargers, right? No one's gonna fight me on that. The Chargers have a bunch of talent, but they're at the bottom of the division. They have $13.5 million in dead cap money void out there, just being sucked into space. $13.5 million. They have $4 million more in dead cap space than the Chiefs, who have 900 times what the Broncos and the Raiders do. But I hope you don't hear me say that about the Chargers and then go like, oh, phew, the Chiefs aren't the worst at this. Because honestly, that was my first gut reaction. I go, all right, well, it's not good, but it's not the Chargers. So there's some solace in that. No. You're thinking about it all wrong. That's not how we should be doing this. You should be upset. Because the Chiefs aren't the best at it. Because they're not at the top of the division. Because they are getting lapped over and over and over by the Raiders and the Broncos. That's not a fun world to live in. And just that's not where I want to see the Chiefs make their bed. And it's something so manageable. You have to admit that sometimes you're not going to be able to sign guys to long-term deals with lots of guaranteed money. It's going to cost you. Because eventually, this is where this just keeps getting worse. The Chiefs are going to have to pay Alex Smith a lot of money to not pay for him soon. Eventually, the Chiefs are going to pay Justin Houston to not play for them. It's going to happen. Because they're huge contracts with money prorated out. That's the state of NFL contracts right now is long-term contracts are only as long-term as the guaranteed money shows that they are. And then NFL teams are pretty willing to go ahead and pay a few million down the road to clear out that cap space earlier or to avoid that giant salary hit. Also, just for a point of reference around the real contenders, the Steelers are somehow paying Sean Sweezum twice. I don't know how. He has a $2.2 million cap hit and a $500,000 cap hit. I have no idea how that even happens. But the Steelers are carrying almost $7 million in dead cap space. Do you know how different that team would look if they could keep Ben Roethlisberger up $7 million better? The New England Patriots, who just gave a long-term contract to Julian Edelman, right? That was weird. Patriots are carrying about $1.5 million in dead cap space. You don't have to be the Broncos or the Raiders carrying $100,000. But you can't be burdening yourself with $9.5 million that you're just throwing into a tornado. And maybe I should have pointed this out sooner. I told you that $9.5 million would be the fourth most expensive player on the Chiefs this year. But for more reference points, Travis Kelce plus Derek Johnson, their cap hits this year are both together less than what the Chiefs are paying Jay Howard, Jeremy Maclin, Josh Malgo, Kavari Russell, Ramique Wilson to not play for them. They're paying those five guys more money to not play for them than they're paying Travis Kelce and Derek Johnson combined. Talk about all the woes the Chiefs have at inside linebacker. Or, oh, man, I just wish they could afford Richard Sherman. And I've been talking about cutting Alex Smith for like 2 years now because I'm looking ahead to when the Chiefs have that kind of flexibility. You can create that flexibility on your own by just having good contracts. And the Chiefs, none of these dead money guys are from the last administration. And John Dorsey and Andy Reid have been a good administration. I am in no way calling for their heads. But those are all their guys. I think across the board, those are all guys that they brought in. Josh Malga might have been here first. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. If you want to talk about the Chiefs cap situation, Jeremy Maclin, everything going on here. I think it's a fascinating conversation, and I'll be curious to see where you land on it. We'll talk about it more whenever we come back. This is Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
Charlie. It's going to be okay, baby. Listen, if it all goes to hell, I'll talk about myself for half an hour.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So good. Such a good clip. Oh my goodness. I sound like hell. Have I sounded this bad all day? Do I sound better now? I feel like I elevated from the first segment, just like the, not the content. The content's trash. But like my voice itself has gotten better, right? God, I sounded like I had just rolled off of a 4-day bender. Oh my goodness. It sounded like I had a meatloaf in my throat. I don't know what that just seems unpleasant.
A meatloaf in your throat?
I don't know. Yeah, it just, I was thinking of like, just like.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
A food obstruction.
An expression.
It was that. I was literally just like, what kind of food would be really unpleasant to talk while trying to consume? And it's meatloaf.
That's the first thing that came up.
It's
right.
Because meatloaf is unpleasant. I think we're all cool with that, right? Is anybody really going to defend?
The idea of it is pretty unpleasant.
Well, the idea of a lot of things is unpleasant. The idea of sausage is unpleasant. The idea of mechanically separated chicken nuggets is unpleasant. But they're wonderful and delicious. Meatloaf. Meatloaf needs a rebranding. That's what meatloaf needs. Because you've got to call it something else. It's just the most chicken nuggets. Like, oh, that's okay. That sounds like something for little kids, but whatever, that's fine. Like, sausage. Whenever I think of the word sausage, I hear Stephen St. John going, sausage! That's my Stephen impression, apparently. Yikes. Should have workshopped that one in the pre-production meeting. But meatloaf just needs a rebranding, I think. You got to call it, like... No, I mean, it is meatloaf. It's a loaf of meat. Call it meat bread instead. You mean like a hamburger bun? No. I'm making meat bread tonight. You know, meat bread. Yeah, I don't... Like, you're making a sandwich? What's going... What do you mean, meat bread? Meat bread! Pulls out of the oven. No, you made meatloaf. That's gross. Let me smother it in ketchup like a child. I hope you're happy, caller who called in to tell Charlie that we needed to move on to a new topic. Because that's what we got. That's what came out of the void. Because I agree. Like, I would love for something new and crazy to happen. I would love to look up at ESPN and see that the Chiefs have traded for Randall Cobb. Dude, there wouldn't be a person happier on this planet than me. Other than, like, I guess Pat Mahomes or Alex Smith, probably. But this is the challenge of sports radio that I had thought of but not had to experience before I started doing it. Doing this show on its own once a week is pretty easy. Like, I don't know if you listening to this think that this is a good show. That's up to you. It's all subjective. But I feel pretty good about these shows that come out. I think they're entertaining and we cover good topics, everything, whatever. But it's pretty easy, prep-wise. Now, it is wholly unnatural for a human being to talk for 3 hours. We shouldn't do that. Because you never get any practice for that unless you're actually in the fire. Try talking for 3 hours to your wife or whatever, or a kid or a girlfriend or your family or your mom. What, just pick a significant other. And tell them, say, listen, honey, or friend, or mom, do not say a word for the next 3 hours. I'm going to talk about Jeremy Maclin. Don't interrupt me unless I give out a phone number first, in which case you can call me, but then I get to choose when I hang up on you. There's no practicing that. There's no working that muscle. So that's ridiculous. But like content-wise, there's usually 3 hours of content out there, and some maybe you spend a little too much time in one zone, or maybe you double back over, maybe you talk about the Royals game at the beginning of the show, and again at the end of the show, because not many people on a Sunday are listening to every hour of this show. Not that many people have had their alarm go off and go, "Ooh, it's time for Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe. I need to hear this." And then they just, you just sit there until lunchtime. But coming up with 3 hours of stuff is pretty easy. But coming up with 6 hours of stuff over 2 days? Oh my God! It's impossible! Because the only thing that happened yesterday that hadn't happened before the show on Saturday was the Royals game. And the Royals at this point are largely inconsequential. Like, scoring 12 runs in a game was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that game. But I could not talk about that for 3 hours. And I talked about that for 30 minutes yesterday. Talking about one single baseball game that's not like a playoff game for more than 30 minutes is hard. So whenever we come back from break, I'm with you, caller. We are going to spend our... what hour is next? Is it the third hour of the show? All right, we're done with... I don't know. We're going to spend hour number 9 talking about nothing but why the fact that Brad Childress thinks that Matt Nagy is going to be a future head coach in the NFL. Get hyped!